The ideal companion to Flour, Joanne Chang's best-selling first cookbook, Flour 2, T-O-O, includes the most requested savory fare that have made her four cafes Boston's favorite stops for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Here are 100 gratifying recipes for easy at-home eating and entertaining, from brunch treats to soups, pizzas, pasta, and of course, Flour's famous cakes, tarts, and other goodies. Joanne Chang is the owner of Flour Bakery and Cafe, with locations in Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, and co-owner of Myers and Chang. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Joanne Chang back to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you here. So how are things at Flour?
Things are great. We've had a very busy summer. We always say it's going to slow down in the summer, and then it never does. So we're having some good challenges trying to keep up with all the business.
One of the things that I found interesting about this book is it is so chock full of things, and which gets me to believe that it is not a, oh, and here are the more recipes, in the sense of it is always something that you are creating.
Absolutely. One of the hallmarks at Flour is that we run daily and weekly specials ever since we've opened almost 13 years ago. So when it came time to write this book, it wasn't hard to come up. In fact, the challenge with writing this book was getting a table of contents that was actually not too overwhelming, because we had so many recipes to choose from and so many great specials that we wanted to feature. So we're always constantly coming up with new ideas and new recipes, and we wanted to showcase the most popular ones in this book.
Did the success of the first book surprise you?
It did. I had always hoped, I mean, everybody who writes a book, you know, you hope that it will resonate with people and you hope that people will use it and bake from it or cook from it. I was very pleasantly surprised at the number of both beginning and advanced bakers who really, really took to the book and just started baking from it from start to finish. There were a number of people who wrote to me and said they'd started similar to the Julie and Julia a blog, where, you know, a blogger starts to cook through Julia Child's book. A number of people have said that they are trying to bake their way through the first book. So that was a very, very pleasant surprise.
When you started out, and when Flour was created, when you started your vision of what you wanted to do, what was that goal? What was that mission? And how has it changed over the years?
Well, when we started out, I lived in a little condo upstairs from the building that the first bakery is in. And so I had this vision of a very romanticized, almost French bakery vision of living upstairs and having a little patisserie downstairs. And that was going to be my life forever. I really wanted a place that was kind of the neighborhood bakery that everybody came to, you know, in the morning on their way to work and coming home, grabbing a loaf of bread and a quart of soup and some dessert. And we very quickly kind of outgrew that concept, in that there, at the time, there weren't that many bakeries in Boston, and people from all over, not just this neighborhood, came to us. And we were really busy from the get-go, which then led us to open a second, and then a third, and then a fourth. So, you know, people ask me all the time, did you plan on opening multiple locations? And it was never, ever anything we considered until we got so busy that we realized we need to open another just to satiate the demand of our guests.
We can hear how busy you are right now, actually.
The phone's ringing off the hook.
That's a good thing.
Two phone lines that are constantly taking orders.
So the idea, though, of a bakery was first, and then the cafe came after.
Yeah. You know, I am a sweets person, first and foremost. I love sweets. I love baking. I dabble a little bit in cooking, but it's not really my strong point. And I really wanted a patisserie where we just made breads and cakes and tarts and cookies. And, you know, in France, you can do that. There are people who will come to your patisserie several times a day and keep you going. But in America, or at least in Boston, there's just not that culture. You need a place that also offers savory options to give people a reason to come during lunch. And so from the get-go, we've offered a full lunch menu with sandwiches, homemade soups, pizzas, quiche, stuffed breads, And we just recently added on a whole salad menu. And that is probably about 50% of our business. So it was the right decision to make in the beginning, even though it wasn't something that I personally had a lot of experience with.
I was struck in the beginning of the book, you have a section of in our vocabulary, in our pantry, in our refrigerator, in our cabinets, things that you have and perhaps people who read this book will want to have as well. You also have a section called In Our Heads, which I think is really interesting because a lot of this is thought, isn't it?
Yes. You know, my background is not from going to culinary school or even from planning on being a cook or a chef from the time I was little. So my background is just as a regular person. You know, I went to school, I studied math, I worked for a couple years in business, and then I kind of got sucked into this industry. So even though that was a little while ago, I still remember very much what it's like to be not in this industry and to not really know what it's like to work in a professional kitchen. And over the years, I've just picked up so many great tips and tricks and things that are somewhat intuitive to me now, but I can still remember when I first learned all of these things, and I felt it would be really helpful to readers to kind of know what is in our heads when you work in a professional bakery, a professional kitchen, and you're thinking about cooking and you're thinking about combining flavors and how best to create, you know, a well-rounded spread or how to follow a recipe. So I kind of backtracked to when I was first learning how to cook and bake to think about those things that were kind of epiphanies at the time. And I also reached out to all my chefs and I just said, what are things that you wish all beginning cooks and bakers knew? You know, we all have friends and spouses and girlfriends and people in our family who don't cook professionally. And so we watch them as they're in the kitchen and there's always things that we want to tell them. And so that I tried to distill all of those in that chapter.
So there's an instinct of common sense too, right? An instinct of common sense and what is realistic.
Yeah, definitely. But I think sometimes with cooking and nowadays where people are really passionate, you know, there's the word foodie that's tossed around all the time and people love cooking and love eating and man, that's great for me, you know, that's great for us. But I think sometimes there's this sense that, oh, well, I'm not in a professional kitchen, so I don't really know how I should be doing this. And like you said, so much of it is common sense, but sometimes I wonder if people are thinking commonsensically when they're in the kitchen because they imagine it to be something a little bit different. The advent of reality TV with all of the reality TV shows makes it seem like professional cooking is this big game. And I was hoping just to kind of take a step back and be like, no, it's not really. I mean, there's aspects of it that can be pieced together to create a TV show that makes it look like a game. But a lot of this, as you say, is kind of common sense. You know, the my favorite tip in there is the one that sounds kind of like the tip, which is eat out a lot. Go out and just eat a lot of things and try a lot of different flavors and think about them when you're eating them, because that's how you come up with great ideas, is you're actively thinking about what you're eating. And I hope that people take that and use that when they're going out to eat and think about what they're eating.
Because your business is in Boston and the surrounding areas, do you think that it just naturally has a New England flair to it?
I think a little bit. You know, we were just in the West Coast, actually, for a little bit of a book tour with this book. And I was struck by, I mean, as everybody is when they go to California, just the bounty of produce that just kind of hits you as soon as you step off the plane and just walk out, you know, into any farmer's market. And in New England, we just don't have that much fresh produce all the time as they do in California. And so because of that, I think the book definitely does focus on, you know, when you do have the produce and when you do have it available, here are some great recipes to make. But if you don't, then here's some other great recipes to make. And, you know, there's a lot of hearty stews and, you know, chicken pot pie and things that are maybe geared a little bit more towards, you know, cold weather. But it's a book that spans both the whole day with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and also all the seasons, you know, from the summertime to the wintertime. So it's got a little bit of a New England bent just based on the availability of produce that we have here. But hopefully it's something that everybody around the country can benefit from.
The photography in the book is absolutely beautiful. And one of the things that comes through is the egg. Boy, you can do some amazing things with an egg.
Yes, it is. You know, the first book opens up with just the word flour, and the first book is called Flour, and of course the bakery is called Flour. And one of the things that, you know, I try to tell people over and over is that we're not trying to do anything fancy or anything crazy. We really are just trying to highlight, you know, what amazing flavors can come from the most basic of ingredients. And like you said, an egg, it's so simple, and yet you can do so many things with it. So I'm glad you enjoyed that.
You also talk in the book in the section about lunch about we think of dinner as being the most popular meal, perhaps, but that for you in the business, lunch is what really drives the place.
Yeah, you know, when we opened the bakery, like I said, I wasn't originally in my early years of planning it to be a cafe, and then we added on sandwiches, and I was surprised at how busy we got because of the sandwiches. And now I would say that they are what we are known for. In addition to our sweets, there are a lot of people who don't have a sweet tooth who just come and get sandwiches. And then I think that, you know, of course, dinner is when you gather with friends and you sit down, you know, as a family, you know, hopefully, ideally. But lunch is something that we see that everybody gets lunch. Everybody comes to get lunch. And going out to dinner, it's not something you can do every day. You know, most people don't have the luxury of a budget where you can just go out to eat every single night. But it seems like many people definitely have at least the budget to spend $7 or $8 on a sandwich because you have to eat something in the middle of the day. So we see literally thousands of people a day who are coming in for their lunch break getting one of our sandwiches.
Joanne Chang is the owner of Flour Bakery and Cafe with locations in Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, and co-owner of Myers and Chang. Joanne Chang is also the author of Flour 2, a brand new beautiful cookbook published by Chronicle Books. Joanne, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
A delight. Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, Flour 2, Indispensable Recipes for the Cafe's Most Loved Sweets and Savories. It's published by Chronicle Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.